One of the reasons I loved having little kids is that they were a great pretext for buying pop-up books, which were so much cooler and more numerous than when I was a kid. And even though my children are now too old, the pop-up book renaissance has continued apace. And the people who make them are now called engineers. Shruti Pinnamaneni has this story, which begins in Westeros.
Every episode of Game of Thrones starts with a map. It sprouts castles, towers, gears push cities out of the ground. It looks medieval, but with a precision that can only be CGI.
This is Pike, Castle Pike.
Matthew Reinhardt has managed to reproduce the magic of the TV show in paper.
Now, this is the wall.
What's that?
This is Astapor.
When you open his Game of Thrones book, it turns into the map. Its pages fan out, and every castle magically pops up in its right place.
It was so hard to figure out every point on the map and making all these different things work. Now I'm going to just close it back up to be a normal book and can go on your shelf.
Reinhardt has made dozens of pop-up books on dinosaurs, Star Wars, Superman, but this Game of Thrones book is a feat of paper engineering.
It's a little bit more expensive than my usual books.
How much is it?
Do I have to?
It's $65, which makes it either a really expensive book or a decently priced piece of art. This is what pop-up artists are doing now, taking entire books and transforming them into these tactile objects you can play with. Once upon a time, in the Middle Ages, scholars put movable parts in textbooks, like rotating paper discs to show the cycles of the moon. It wasn't until the Victorian era before it occurred to bookmakers that these mechanical books would be great for kids. In the 1880s, an artist named Lothar Meggendorfer punched up his books with rivets and copper wire, so when you open a page, you're pitching a whole circus tent with moving animals.
Then in the early 90s, along came a brilliant young designer himself named Robert Sabuda.
Peter Glassman owns Books of Wonder, a great children's bookstore in Manhattan. He says Robert Sabuda's aesthetic felt completely new. A typical page has one giant pop-up, but then you'll see another door and then another. It's all pop-ups within pop-ups.
I remember when I first saw the Christmas alphabet being overwhelmed by the beauty and how innovative it was. And I remember coming to the O is for owl and watching the owl blink his eyes and thinking to myself, man, is this guy good? And knowing this book was going to fly off the shelves, as indeed it did.
The books were a huge hit and pop-ups went mainstream.
They creeped into some of our more mass market formats.
Valerie Garfield is a vice president at Simon & Schuster.
We are one of the larger pop-up publishers for children.
She says in the early 2000s, even basic board books started to have pop-ups. And as the market expanded, the more complex pop-up books became.
It takes a lot more to dazzle a kid now, I think, than it did 20 years ago and certainly 50 years ago, when you think of what they encounter day to day in terms of technology. And then you open a book and say, well, look how cool this paper can be. It really has to be on the top of its game and pretty cool to capture them.
Transformers!
These are my neighbor's kids attacking one of Matthew Reinhardt's other books.
Oh my, look at this. Oh, that's
ooh,
so cool.
Oh, look, you can make them turn from airplanes to Transformers.
What is that one, Bumblebee?
I see a yellow black car.
Cars and trucks pop out of the page and then blossom into robots.
Whoa.
It's a double pop.
I see a bumblebee.
How did that happen?
Everything on the car is part of the body, and then you just flip something and it becomes the body. Not so easy, though.
The book is gorgeously crafted. The paper actually looks like pieces of metal, and the Transformers open with a gratifying snap.
It's a book, but it looks like a toy.
So everyone knows Optimus Prime. You know, he is the leader of the Autobots, and he's this big truck.
The artist, and Matthew Reinhardt, is a huge Transformers fan. Really, he made this book for geeks like himself.
You can see it's very detailed, all these little things, like even down to his bumper sticker on the back, Convoy, which is, that's his name in Japan, is Convoy.
There's even a tiny driver in there with a tiny face.
And that is sort of an homage to Peter Cullen, who is the voice of Optimus Prime.
People are always asking Reinhardt what computer program he uses for his pop-ups. But he makes everything by hand.
So these are some early pop-up studies.
They're bars of sturdy white paper flapping and bending on hinges of white tape.
Just to see, okay, so if I have this lever here and it's pushing something else, to give me ideas about how I could make things move.
Sometimes when there's a glitch in the way it moves, he troubleshoots the pop-up using his ears.
You'll listen. Sometimes you'll hear paper, like, rubbing against each other. Like, you can hear it. Well, it's not so bad. There it is. There's a lot of, like, tension inside here. There's stuff that's... So I'll go through and I'll analyze exactly where that sound's coming from, and I'll find it, and then I'll do another version that will have the fix.
Ultimately, Reinhardt will pull the pop-ups apart, scan the different bits, he calls them pop-up roadkill, and send the files to China.
They're all hand-built. They're all hand-assembled.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, there's a machine that will die-cut the pieces of paper, and there's also a machine, you know, that prints it. It's about as big as a bus, and it'll print these huge sheets with all the different pieces on it, but it takes hands to assemble every piece. So, like, you see this T-Rex, there's probably one person that glues on this part of the head thousands of times over, and it's handed off, and there's one person that maybe glues the arms down.
In other words, creativity may be at its peak, but production is still old school. It takes an assembly line of hundreds of people to make one pop-up book. That's why they're expensive. And since the financial crash, they've become a lot less lucrative for both publishers and artists.
And royalty checks just got smaller and smaller, and there were less and less bookstores, like borders closed.
Last year, Reinhardt moved to a smaller studio, let go of his two assistants, and then came this one awful moment.
It wasn't even that much of a bad thing. It was just a terrible advance check that I got on a book that I'd worked very hard for. It was terrible, and I was embarrassed. And then, of course, the drama queen in me, foresees, like, what if you're on the streets? What if you have this? What other job would you do? You have to go back to school. Oh, my God. And then you sort of calm down and realize that it's just about rethinking how you present what you're doing. You can't keep doing the same thing your whole life. You can't keep approaching it the same way. And I've learned that.
His next pop-ups will be much simpler. Those are the kinds of books publishers are commissioning to keep prices down. But Glassman, the bookstore owner, thinks this may backfire. He remembers one artist who was doing these intricate pop-up books in the 80s.
And they were hugely successful. And then the publisher kept sizing them down, simplifying the pop-ups, making the books smaller, less exciting, less visually enchanting. And they stopped selling as well.
In other words, if you want to see a book like Transformers with its crazy paper acrobatics, then you better do it soon. For Studio 360, I'm Shruti Pindamaneni.
Say it's only a paper moon, sailing over a cardboard sea. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me.
You can see a video of what a painstakingly engineered pop-up book looks like at studio360.org.
But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me.